There's a question I have.
Okay.
We just had a couple of baptisms and chrismations.
Yeah.
And one of the things we did whenever you went, you mentioned the stuff about character and enduring marks. I just remembered being sealed with the
chrismation. Sealed the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm just like, I mean, it never makes sense to me to begin with.
When we do that?
Yeah. You know, but this is just, I don't know, this connection.
There is so much when I think about that, you know, to try to talk about it. It just blows my head up. I mean, to think about the seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit is made with the gift itself is what is being given. And it is the mark of the cross. And so if we're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's the mark that we're going to be chrismated with the mark of the cross. We've been baptized into this life that becomes available to us by way of the cross. And if we're going to live that life, we're going to live that life by way of the power of God Himself. You know, and yes, a mark is made. Now, we can head in the other direction easily enough, but does the mark then make no difference? I think the mark does make a difference.
So that mark is related to character.
Well, we don't want to reduce the Christian, you know, to...
We
established three different things here.
No, I mean, people, yeah. Character is enduring marks.
Yes, that's true.
So, yeah. You know, we're trying to raise our children character.
That's the definition of character.
And so, trying to do that is making a mark on them. And then we're sealing them with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the mark of the cross.
Right.
Then we're giving them a mark to raise them in the Christian life. You know.
Exactly. Marks were made on me as a child that made it virtually impossible that I was ever going to be a good Buddhist or a good Hindu. Christian marks. Long before I was interested in thinking about stuff or, I mean, why do things plague us the way they do? Maybe because we have already been, what do we say, enlisted as warriors in Christ. And there is a place where we belong, you know. We work that out during the course of our lives, you know, for sure. So, yeah, there's definitely a connection there. Although we wouldn't want to reduce what's going on with the chrismation to the issue of character, because I think we do have to make a distinction between, as I said in the beginning, character development and what is happening in the Christian life, which goes way beyond that. But if you don't have that, I mean, it's tough. And there's someone coming out of a broken, abusive home who was raised in such a way that they have not known the love and affection of an adult. You know, that person is in a difficult, difficult situation that has not had someone else trying and struggling with the parent's task of instilling character in them. And it's not a matter of our necessarily having to be people of a perfect character. I mean, we aren't. But it pains us, especially when we're raising children, that our character isn't better than what it is. And that counts. You know, that's part of our spiritual effort. So it's the reality of what is actually done. That's the marks that are made. But who knows but what marks are made on us by way of the fact, and you know how insightful children are, when we see our parents struggling with things that are obviously too much for them, obviously beyond them, where they see themselves, you know, failing in their own eyes. You know, according to what standard? I mean, you know by virtue of the fact that you have been able to see your mother or your father in that kind of moral dilemma, there is something higher. There is something higher than your parents who end up always revealing that they have feet of clay, maybe. But by virtue of the fact of their struggle and their love for you and the way they pain themselves in their spiritual effort to care for you as their child, you see that there is something that they are reaching for and can't grasp. So that shortcoming itself, that short reach, already makes a mark on us, an impression on us. There is something higher. So, I mean, that's the nature of spiritual life, I think. Those marks are made. Okay, other question, comment.
Is it character given from God or built in from parents?
They try.
On Wednesday, I never really answered this question. Let me try to do that now. Our parents can try to develop good character in us, but they can only try. How might they do that? By encouraging good habits, by encouraging good choices, hoping that later on we'll do them on our own, by ourselves. Oftentimes, though, as children, we rebel and we want to go our own way. Some of us are more willful than others, it seems. That may be part of our personality. We'll talk about that next time. And we might resist all of the efforts of even the best parents. Later on, some of us find ourselves struggling against our own willfulness long after we're full grown. The fact is that we must really desire to have good character. We must choose to want the strength and habit to do the right things. It's not usually something we're born with. Some people do seem to be born with a desire to be good right from the beginning, but even for them, finding and doing the right thing at the right time is not always so easy. Usually, when we use the word character, we are talking about something that isn't simply given by God, but is developed over time. Character is built up by practice that becomes habit. To develop a habitually moral character takes time, desire, and cooperation with God. But we can ask God for strength to do as we know we ought to do.
I mean, we all try as parents. We do the best we can. Some of us are better at it than others. You know, some of us are working against bad character of our own. And yet we still try the best we can. But does God simply give us good character? The thing that it reminded me of in John Climacus is that Climacus says this. He says, sometimes people do good things because they want to make a good show to others.
For example, we might be trying to make a good show to our parents.
And that reasons that are not good motives for acting according to a high level of character can be fed by underground springs. So that you don't actually have good character, but you're really interested in seeming like you have good character, and you really want to appear to have good character to others. So where is that coming from? You know, so okay, we have a person here. Is it a person of good character, or is it just someone who likes to be seen as a person of good character? And the point that I want to make, which I think is related to your question, is that this idea of underground springs that are maybe horrible, that may be terrible, a vanity where we're lifting ourselves up and thinking we're so great, and we prove it by showing to others that we are people of good character. Now, where does that come from? Does it come from God? Does it come from our parents? I don't know. Does it come from God? So,
yeah, but wouldn't that be bad character? That her question eliminates that from the question. That is bad character. That's a lie. So we can erase the bad springs. Does good character
that doesn't count.
Come from God? Is it in somehow we can imprinted say upon us in
good,
our creation?
Good character inevitably has something to do with the relationship between human beings and God. I would say that.
Is it imprinted upon us?
By God?
Is that imprinted in our creation?
He could stamp out cookie cutter human beings.
I know, but is the actual function of good character stamped on?
No. We always have a choice. I mean, character is about choosing. Yeah. You know, Aristotle points out that if we have no choice, then it's not a moral situation.
But is it available to us from the Creator? The good character.
Good character is what you do. What is available
right.
from the Creator?
Choice, the good choice is available to us from God as
I
well.
I think a lot of people.
The particular situations are going to vary.
Confuse character with personality.
Well, I actually didn't want to get into that, but why would you mention that in the context of this conversation?
Because I think person comes from God.
See, now this is always confusing. Go ahead.
Whereas character is an action.
Yeah, a function of freedom. Character is good. Character is what you do in the dark. it will later on be said in Pillar's
book. But can't somebody with bad character attain good character? That would seem to me that it would be a choice. We're going back to the 5 points of Calvinism. To me, if God is imprinting good character onto us, you can't be anything but a good character. You will only choose good things. But somebody can be the most heinous, nastiest creature on the earth, and then make a choice.
Good and bad character are imprinted on us. Because
no, choice. I mean, I don't agree with that. I mean, you know, I'm not a Calvinist.
Right, but what I'm saying
is, no, I don't think good and bad character are imprinted on us.
There's no character imprinted on us.
You don't have character.
I'm not sure what you mean by character.
Doesn't it have to be nurtured?
Can the character be bad or good, or is it just neither?
I have read some in Lewis, and I've some quotes from some of the church fathers that I can't remember who, but there are, depending on, this gives me comfort, and maybe it shouldn't, maybe it's false comfort, but depending on what your disposition is, your disposition can make it easier to make good choices or more difficult, depending on whether you like the fat one tells that he naturally has a short temper.
Right.
Now, does that come from your parents? Does that come genetically? I can tell you this, I have 5 children and none of them have the same temperament.
Parents of good character who just exercise good character, maybe partly because they are disposed to act with good character. It's in the genes to a certain degree. And they train their children and raise them. You know, so it's imprinted on the genes and it's imprinted by behavior, and you end up being a person of good character, and it's like you have almost no choice. But you go through agony whenever you don't act in a way that is good and decent, you know, and righteous. And how free is that? You know, I think that you could make a case for that within the tradition of a pre-Christian moral life. Yeah, that can happen. But what the fathers will say is, when it comes to holiness, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to sharing in the perfection of our humanity in Christ, that kind of doesn't count. Okay, you have an ordered character. One of my favorite expressions that has to do with this from the Greeks is ethos, the root word of ethics, ethos. Ethos, in Greek words, they have like all these different meanings, and they're all like related, you know. To be a person of ethos is to be a person where people always know where to find you. You are always in your accustomed place. And ethos is a place. That's your ethos. You live within that space. And within that space, you are who you are. And people can depend on you. And all of that is a good thing. And all of it has to do with character and character development. And it could partly have to do with your genes, and it could partly have to do with your upbringing. But none of it has to do with salvation. It's like Father Schmemann would say, to be a good person, that's where you start. We have not lost the capacity to sort ourselves out morally and be decent human beings. It takes a society and parents and a family to do it, but it can happen. It's like in the wedding service. Two people are in love with one another. They want to have their life in common fulfilled. Where can they have it fulfilled? Marriage was there before Judaism, before Christianity. If you want to have it fulfilled, you bring it into the kingdom. And that's where the wedding service starts. The wedding service starts with two people who actually love one another. That's the beginning. And the beginning of our transformation by Christ begins with, I mean, we have to want that. We have to desire God. It goes beyond a good character. So it's important, I think, which is why I started in the way that I did, to distinguish between issues that have to do with good character on the one hand, and how we go about being transformed into the fullness of the stature of Christ. Good character will not get you there, ever. Christianity starts where pagan ethics finishes.
If you're getting there, will you exhibit? Will it run the other way? Will good character be exhibited by you?
There is a problem with the idea that I'm getting there. This is not a developmental process. It's not based on a capacity that we have ourselves. It's based on the perfection of Christ, not on any capacity that we have ourselves, within ourselves, for that perfection. And therefore, there are no steps. There is no gradual development into the stature of Christ. That's a delusion to begin with, in other words. It's not a matter of improvement. The perfection is already there. The perfection is already accomplished. It's not our perfection. It's Christ's perfection. It's the perfection of God himself. And God help us if we think we are getting there, even if we're not aware of the fact that that's what we think we're doing. When I say on the one hand, there is the spiritual effort of character development, and on the other hand, there is the ascent into a sharing of the divine perfection of God himself. These two are not the same thing. The second is impossible to someone who is not already involved in the first. Trying to skip to the second is spiritual suicide. We achieve it by becoming less, not by becoming more.
Well, the Protestant idea is if you're saved, you will go out and do good things. But, and I would say that you're not going to get there if you're doing bad things. When it comes to confession, you have two reasons to go to confession. One is that you can't go to communion because something that you've done cannot be done at one with and in harmony with God. You are no longer in communion with God, therefore you cannot come to the chalice. Repentant, murderers, robbers, all the rest, yes. But without repentance, no. These things cannot be done as part of your ascent to be one with God. In the West, they make the traditional distinction between mortal sins and venial sins. Mortal sins are the ones where when an Orthodox priest says, if you have done any of these things, don't come to the chalice. Because like St. Paul would say, it is dangerous for you to come to the chalice in that kind of condition. You need to confess these things. Breaking the Ten Commandments is a good short list. So your question about if you are going in that direction, if you are ascending the heights from glory to glory, it's almost irrelevant to say, are you going to be a good person? Well, you can't ascend by being a bad person. And it goes way beyond the fundamentals of not breaking the Ten Commandments. That won't get you there. It's the life in Christ that will get you there.
There is a fundamental problem with deciding that we're not going to mess around with the basic stuff, but we're going to go straight to ascending the heights. The Philokalia, whose title means the love of beautiful spiritual wisdom, warns us constantly of the possibility of delusion, prelest, where we think we are ascending the heights, but as a matter of fact, because within ourselves there is vanity, the conviction that we don't need to mess around with the basic lower stuff. We're going to go straight for the gold without dealing with what we are like within ourselves, what our motivations are. We're going to end up in a state of delusion and confusion and possibly even madness. Insanity is a possibility if we enter into a serious spiritual effort beyond the reality of what we are and who we are actually spiritually. After all, what are we actually? Dust. And of course, there is always the warning against trying to do this on our own. Just me and the Philokalia will, in lots of cases, not turn out well. So the basic discipline of living a spiritual life amongst others is foundational.
All right, I got to rephrase it. Are we impressed, created with the possibility of good character?
We're human beings.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
We're not raw material. We are created as human beings. And to be a human being is to be the kind of being that can only be itself by being at one with God, who is good, holy, wise, all the rest of that. So if we're going to be who we really are, we are going to be all those things too. And anything that isn't like God is going to be unlike ourselves. So it's not like, you know, there's raw material and we impress it with the mark. We are created beings. The world didn't make us. And then God comes along and puts a mark on it. Not like that. We are all created in the image and likeness of God. Everyone. We put the mark, the seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're already baptized. The seal of the gift is to enable you to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit itself or himself and actively live that life, because it's going to be a moment by moment actual living of life. It's not something that can be impressed by mark and said and done. God does not deal that way with us. Any other questions?
We can't separate the secular from the spiritual.
Yeah, that's the direction that I was wondering about too.
Well, that's what you're saying. But we can, we do, and you've been telling us not to. I'm just saying that it's not that is not what we're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to have the profane and the spiritual. We're supposed to live in the united.
Not have a divorce between our character development and our spiritual development.
Right, yeah, I'm just saying, well, yeah.
Character development is spiritual. Development is possible when it comes to our character. We're not making a distinction between character development and some idea of salvation as spiritual development. I'm rejecting the idea of salvation as spiritual development. We're making a distinction between spiritual development, for example, character development, where development is possible on the one hand, and on the other hand, divinization, living our lives by oneness with God, living from His holiness and perfection. We can't develop into divine perfection because we don't have it in ourselves to be divine. The concern here is that oftentimes, especially in our society, there is a temptation to substitute and mistake character development for the spiritual life that is unique to us as Christians.
Now that I understand. I understand what you're saying. You can't, if you're shooting heroin, you can't just come in here and start kissing icons and that'd be it. You know?
Of course, that attempt is made.
Right. You got to deal with what you got to deal with.
And we may ourselves at some point be making that attempt without realizing it. In other words, it might not be heroin. We may be addicted to something. It is kind of a cheap spiritual life to just say, well, these are my sins, and then you trot out your old tired addictions, you know, and you just get to stay at that level. And you never really engage in the reality of spiritual life as a Christian. And of course these things overlap. I mean, if they didn't overlap, then our character would have nothing to do with spiritual life. And it does.
Isn't it more to the point, though, Father Jacob? I mean, I'm not saying what you're saying is not the point, but maybe part of the distinction, is the way I should say it, is that character is that vehicle that won't take you where you would need to go spiritually.
No, character won't get you there.
Now, spiritually, if we are indeed transformed, the character will come.
But doesn't that put the responsibility again for our character on God? It's up to God to transform me, and then I will have good character. It's up to God to impress good character on me, and then I will have good character.
Maybe, except in extreme cases.
If we have time.
What are we going to say about Mary
Vigil? If we have time. Well, I mean,
where's the good character?
About who?
Mary of Egypt.
She continued making a good choice.
Yeah, but
she left the desert, I suppose.
St. Mary of Egypt died in the desert. She never returned.
But
she separated herself from the interaction of people. In order to have character, you've got to have somebody to be
have a good character.
Well, she's really an exception.
Let's set heroin aside. Who else in charge? That to me is a sign of good character.
Also, nobody ever rhetoric
about alcoholic comes in. I'm the only one we know ever, and I'm an alcoholic. That to me is a sign that you're moving down the path. That's
fine.
I'm just saying character trait.
Nobody's ever seen her besides Osmus.
She's really.
You know, that's justification for making a distinction between when you're talking about character and when you're talking about dying to yourself, repenting of whatever it is.
Well, yeah,
is it good character to do that? You know, I think it's beyond good character. It's something qualitatively different than good character.
But that initial, when your brain does that and you decide, okay, something's wrong and it needs to be fixed. In my mind, if somebody's doing that, that to me would be something good in them. That would be a good character. They're not there yet. They're not saved. They're not all the rest. They're still in the spot where they are, but they've made a step, and that to me would be good character.
This almost sounds like the argument between faith and works.
Yeah. You can't have one without the other, right?
You can't have the works without faith, I think. Mm-hmm. You can't have one. Just like I think you can have character without, if I understand correctly, you could have good character and be spiritually dead.
Publicly. Externally. Dead.
External good character,
but external character that seems good but actually isn't.
Like Pharisees?
Yeah, like Pharisees.
Yeah, but they're slimy.
I don't know that they did. I don't think you can accuse them of that.
That they knew they were dead inside?
I think some of them didn't. I think some of them thought that was the way.
And maybe some of them weren't.
That was their religious life.
What about Nicodemus?
Well, yeah, he was a Pharisee, but he wasn't Pharisaical. He was a member of the Pharisees' group, and he was observant of all those things. But it's not the case that just because you are observant of all those things, you are necessarily dead inside.
Yeah, because Jesus said you ought to have kept all of those things. But in addition to that,
yeah, a good person is the least that you can expect. But that's where it starts. It's not where it ends.
And in terms of, like Schaefer would say, how then shall we live? Is it then the idea that if we apply ourselves spiritually, real, true character, good character will become a part of who we are? That is maybe not a good effort or investment of our time just to seek to have good character.
If seeking to act with better moral character is not part of, and maybe even the main part of, your spiritual effort, I'm not sure what your spiritual effort would be other than that. During the spiritual effort that is Great Lent, we fast from foods. We also fast from feasting on our brothers. Isn't that making an effort to live in a moral way? What spiritual effort do you have in mind that has nothing to do with how you live your life morally?
I mean, the three distinctions I hear tonight are faith, character, works, personality. And to me, like, the whole thing has been faith and works. I mean, you have to have faith in Christ and pursue Christ. And the process of that is transforming.
That's what I, you know, and the fact is that is, I fundamentally object to the substitution of the Christian religion for character, as though the only way we can be decent is to be Christian and God will make us decent. That's not true.
Which is part of what I rejected when I became Christian.
Huh? It's not that you're not saying that He won't make us decent. What you're saying is that isn't the point.
Yeah. It isn't. I mean, it can't be. I mean, it just isn't.
We'll have to become decent if we become transformed. Better than decent, maybe.
Well, some people don't, obviously. You know.
I mean, what are the choices? What are the other possibilities? If we become like Christ. If we were to actually...
Right, but then that's what I'm saying. You go to the desert, you're eliminating the whole thing. If I'm alone...
Well, why don't we just wait until we're transformed? Why start acting decent? God's going to take care of it. I'll just be faithful.
I tried that.
I believe in Christ. I don't have to be a good character. I don't have to treat people decent. God will make... God's not done with me yet. I mean, boy, what a rotter you were. Well, I know, but it'll come. Don't worry. Be patient.
Yeah, forgiven.
God will transform me, make me decent. Don't demand decency of me now. God will do it for me. Now, if you're a Protestant, you might have some justification for that because you believe that human beings have lost the capacity to be decent to one another. But we don't believe that.
Not all Protestants believe that either.
Yeah. I know. Well, you mentioned before you were here, there is some noble inconsistency. You know, it's not like radical Calvinism where everybody, people are totally incapable, just completely corrupt to the point that you must have a theocracy to control them because they're hopeless. This is not an across-the-board Protestant Christian understanding of the way things are. That's true. That's the extreme example. But if you are one of those people, then you can see, you know, what do you expect from me? I'm a sinner. I'm corrupt. God will change me.
I will start doing good things. Just you wait. When he starts getting hold of me and starts to transform me, I have no responsibility at that point. That's nonsense.
In our class, when we got charismatic, you never taught that, and I've never heard any.
Never taught what?
What you were just saying, that we're hopeless.
Yeah, of course. No, well, it's because I'm an Orthodox priest.
Well, not. Oh, that's not always.
Well, go ahead, go ahead.
What we're almost saying is that once you, you've got to make some effort.
That's what the Protestants said.
He was saying, he wasn't standing behind that.
Yeah, I was not standing behind it. That was a devil's advocate or whatever. Characterizing, a situation where character is beyond us. What do you expect of me? I'm a sinner. I'm totally corrupt. Don't even talk about good character. And I'm saying, look, you are responsible to be a person of good character just on the basis of friendship, decency amongst human beings. We are, each of us, who we are because our brother is ourselves. That's a description of the reality of what it means to be a human being. You haven't even gotten to the point that you're talking about Christianity yet. You are responsible for that on the basis of the fact that you are created as a human being. And if you reject that, then you're not in a position to even understand what the perfection of Christ is all about. Why bring Christianity down to the point where, I'm damned, I'm totally corrupt, I need Christ's sacrifice in order to be decent to other people? This is nonsense. You're kidding yourself. Pagans can do better than that. Sometimes they do. Are we going to let ourselves off the hook? Because, why? Because do we really think that we are totally corrupt and incapable of being as good and decent as a noble, virtuous pagan? That's not true. It's a lie about who we are as human beings. There is more between us, including outside of the Christian faith, as human beings, than that. We can't, what are we going to do next? Say, he's a Jew, he's a Muslim, And that's what the Jews did. Morality was for amongst Jews. If you weren't a Jew, you're outside the covenant. Lying to them, deceiving them, And I'm not talking about contemporary Jews. I'm not characterizing now. I'm talking about hardcore Old Testament Jews. Those stiff-necked people that God chose in order to work with them and transform them. Their morality was a morality within the community. We cannot settle as Christians for a morality within the Christian community. It's a lie about what it means to be a human being. The pagan Greeks and Romans knew better than that. If we start lying to ourselves in that kind of way, what kind of Christian human beings are we going to be? We're not. We're going to wait for God to transform us into the equivalent of a decent pagan Greek? Is that our faith? Is that our religion? I hope not. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yes, that does, actually.
But that's our stepping stone. If we can't at least do that, how are we going to...
That's where we, hopefully, as parents, we are able to raise our...
If we can't at least do that, then how can we ascend into a true spiritual walk with Christ?
Well, there's always Mary of Egypt. God does,
The stepping stone, though. I don't know if that's what you're saying. That we have to have good character before we can come to Christ?
I would not say that.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying... Exhibit that before you try to go on to deeper spiritual
at least
faith.
Exactly. At least hold yourself to that and understand that as a human being, you are responsible to be a decent human being. Salvation goes way beyond that. And you can't count on salvation to make you a decent human being. As a God-created human being, you are created in the image and likeness of God. Only if you completely lost that, the way the radical Calvinists would say, would you have the responsibility lifted from your shoulders, conduct yourself as a human being. Every human being has that responsibility. Every human being.
So would the short list of good character be the same short list?
Those short lists overlap for the most part.
Right, but would be the same as the things of good character would be the same things except would be, I'm talking about the Ten Commandments. Stealing, cheating, lying. Adultery, coveting.
It's been pointed out that the Ten Commandments could be pretty universally accepted by every human culture.
And yet, we found them impossible to keep.
Well, Pharisees were pretty sure they kept them.
Yeah, they didn't.
Well, they didn't only because there's more there than just than what seems to be there. But at a legalistic level, no problem.
Here is where we need to introduce another term. Our relationship to God, remember, is not a matter of simply following a basic set of commandments. We're not virtuous because we follow the Ten Commandments. We're meant to be like God. We're meant to share His qualities. We are created in His image and likeness. We're meant to be like Him. Character is formed by establishing virtues as habitual. So the short list is a short list of virtues. The Ten Commandments are not a list of virtues. The Ten Commandments were given to the Jews to keep them from going away from God beyond a certain boundary. You know, things have been getting geometrically worse and worse, remember, in the Old Testament? And this boundary was given to the Jews. And even today, once you go beyond that boundary, you are outside of the communion with God. That's why you need to go to confession, because you are outside of the shared communion in God that we have in Christ. A virtuous person would not break the Ten Commandments, but the commandments are not a list of the qualities of good character. They're certainly not a list of divine qualities, the qualities of God Himself that we're meant to share in. The kind of short list that I thought that was meant to begin with would be a list of virtues. To answer your question, as I first thought that you meant it, on a traditional short list, there are some virtues that are more important in some societies than in others, and some virtues may even be specific to some types of societies. Virtues, for example, that might be essential and necessary to a frontier society, like the virtue of a ruthless physical courage, might be less appropriate and maybe even dangerous and undesirable in a more civilized society. Next time, I'll bring a handout of Father Thomas Hopko's list in his book, The Orthodox Faith, Spirituality, and also a short write-up from the Orthodox Wiki online, which has a nice short article on virtue. You'll find other lists of virtues in the book Character is Destiny, and you'll see how they overlap.